Good morning, Northwoods. As you can tell, we like to have fun around here. But let's get this morning started off right, giving them praise. Well, come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Oh, come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God.
Promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. To haze, so the earth may pass away, your word remains the same. Yeah. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart burn. When you speak a word, it will come. these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, your name.
This is the day the Lord has made. rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's brought us from mourning to dancing and glory to glory. This is the day the Lord has made. So what are you waiting for? La 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. There's freedom for the captive.
Thank you, Lord. Good news to the poor.
Good news to the poor. And beauty for the ashes. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for?
Listen.
This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Whoa, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He brought us from mourning to dancing, from glory to glory. This is the day the Lord has made. So what are we waiting for? La 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 la. Come on and praise the Lord. La 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 la. What are we waiting for?
This is the day the Lord has made. You can put your hands together, that's all right. I will rejoice and be glad.
You got it.
This is the day the Lord has made. Whoa,
I will rejoice.
So glad that you joined us for our final week of At the Movies. We've got a great service lined up for you. Check out the screens.
I don't know about you, but I love that new song that we just sang. Today is the day the Lord has made. Are you thankful for that? I sure am. Anyway, my name is Hope, and I'm so glad that you're here today. If it's your first time, I want to give you a special shout out. On behalf of everyone here, welcome. We're happy you're here and want you to know how much you matter to us. So please text NEW to the number on your screen so that one of our pastors can meet you. And for those of you on campus, stop by a NEW Here kiosk for a special gift and to meet one of our volunteers. I can't say it enough. You matter to us, and we want Northwoods to feel like home for you. We would love to meet you today. Next Sunday, Pastor John is going to share the vision of why church planting matters. If you've been around Northwoods for a bit, you know that we are passionate about seeing churches planted globally and in the Central Illinois area. You see, wherever there's a local church, broken world people can experience complete freedom through Christ Jesus. We want people everywhere to be able to exclaim and understand that because of Jesus, we can all point to our hearts and say, hope lives here. So be sure to come back next Sunday for John's message. Well, it certainly has seemed like everyone has loved the At the Movies series, but I think you're going to be pretty excited about our next series that starts October 9th. Have you ever wondered what the Bible actually says about government? Well, that's exactly what Pastor John is going to unpack in Biblically Correct, a series that will help us examine foundational biblical principles that can guide us through the polarizing topic of politics. So join us for that series and let's recover God's vision for government. Well, and as always, I wouldn't want to miss the opportunity to personally thank you for your giving. We are so blessed by your generosity, and because of that, we are able to bless others in our church, in the community, and in the world. If you'd like to give today, you can text, use the app, or use any of the giving boxes on campus. There's so much more that I'd love to tell you about, but we've got to move on with service. So pull out the Northwoods app, fill out the connection card, and check out a few things that I couldn't mention, like upcoming prayer appointments and our oil change for single moms and widows. Again, I'm so glad that you're here. Enjoy the show.
Your instructor is one of the finest pilots this program has ever produced. His exploits are legendary. What he has to teach you may very well mean the difference between life and death.
Your reputation precedes you.
I have to admit, I wasn't expecting an invitation back.
They're called orders, Maverick.
Everybody doing? This is my best Pete Maverick Mitchell look. It's all I got, all right? So I thought about preaching the shades. I think I'm going to take them off. But hey, I'm so glad you're here with us as we finish out our At the Movies series with week four of Top Gun Maverick. I've been super excited about this one. Has anyone who's seen Top Gun Maverick? Yeah, it's a great movie. And we're going to utilize it today to illustrate biblical truth. And we're going to hop into that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to just kind of, you heard just on the screen just a minute ago in announcements about where we're headed in the next couple of weeks. And I want to just kind of add my voice there. And so next week, I want to invite you to come back because we're going to be talking all about, I'm going to be discussing our vision here at Northwoods. And so if you're new with us here at Northwoods and you say, I wonder what is Northwoods' vision? Well, we're going to cover that. You know, we have a vision to plant churches around the world and locally here at Northwoods. And so we're going to talk about why we believe that and how each and every one of us can play a part in helping that vision to come to pass. And then I also want to invite you back, because in 2 weeks from this Sunday, you heard we're going to be starting a series called Biblically Correct. And it's all about God's vision for government. And I just wanted to say just a quick thing about that, because I know for some of us, as soon as we hear God's vision for government, we say, okay, John's getting all political. No, I'm not getting political. This is John being biblical. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said in the Great Commission to his disciples, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And what's everything God has commanded us? Well, everything God has commanded us is in his word. And so I feel, and I think all of us should feel the same way, if we're going to be faithful to God's word, we can't just skip over the passages that teach about civil government. And so I'm going to lean into the passages that teach about civil government. And listen, it's not me getting into Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. It's really recovering a biblical perspective on government and how we as Christians should relate to government. And so I want to invite you to come back, because I know I'm hoping and I believe that it will be helpful to many of us. So that's what's coming in the next 2 weeks, and I hope you'll be there for both of those with us as we continue after this series. But today, we're going to close out at the movies going full throttle with Top Gun Maverick. And I really hope you've enjoyed this series. I know it's been a lot of fun for me. There's not too many times in my sermon prep that I get to watch movies. I think I've watched some of these movies so many times now, I could probably quote them word for word. But it's been fun. And how about Nathan last week? You know, I'm glad he took that one. He did a great job on the message. And I was, you know, I kind of told Nathan, you know, I'm glad you dropped from this thing upside down, because Lord knows I'm not doing that. So we've had a lot of fun. And like I said, today we're going to close it out with Top Gun Maverick. You know, this movie is the highly anticipated sequel to the original Top Gun that came out back in 1986. Who's seen the original Top Gun 1986? Okay, a lot of us, 1986. So there are 36 years, I think I got my math right on that, 36 years between the release of these two movies. That's a long time. And a lot has changed in 36 years. And so to have a little bit of fun this morning, I want to take a look back at life in 1986. Now, I had to Google this, because in 1986, I was just a twinkle in my dad's eye. So here's some of the things I've Googled from 1986. Here's what it looked like to look up friends and contacts in 1986. The Rolodex. You wanted to contact someone, you're spinning through that. Today, right, you can get on Facebook and boom, or direct message someone. Here's listening to music in 1986. Many of you know this, right? The old cassette tape. Now all you need today is just Wi-Fi and you're streaming music. All right, capturing photos and memories in 1986. There it is. Film roll. I've heard that back in 1986, at least I read, that it could take up to 2 weeks to get your photos back. I mean, imagine having to wait 2 weeks just to realize you blinked in a photo. I can't imagine. All right, how about making phone calls? There's the Mitsubishi Roamer. That's one of the phones that came out in 1986. Imagine putting that thing in your back pocket. Okay? Looking up information. The card catalog at the library. Thank God for Siri today. Okay? Here's one. Taking family portraits. The Olin Mills giant dad head photo. That is a very interesting photo. Like, you're all smiling, and then dad's just like over there, just Does anybody have one of those in their family? You don't have to admit it. Some of you do. Okay. I think it's kind of cool. I might try it. You know, listen, there's some things that have changed since 1986, right? But there's one thing, or should I say one person, that hasn't seemed to change much since 1986. Go ahead and look at Brother Tom Cruise. He seems to not have aged almost at all since 1986. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, I always say money can't buy everything, but I think money can potentially help you channel the fountain of youth. You know, in the movie, Tom Cruise plays the role of Pete Maverick Mitchell. He's a highly decorated fighter pilot with 30 years of service, and he's summoned in this movie to prepare a new generation of Top Gun graduates for a mission that they will fly on to take out an enemy nuclear enrichment plant. And one of the graduates that Maverick is charged with training is Lieutenant Bradshaw, known as Rooster. That's kind of his call sign in the movie, and this is him. That's Rooster in the movie. There's just one problem. Rooster is the son of Maverick's former, actually, is the son of Maverick's deceased former wingman known as Goose in the first Top Gun. Now, a little bit of background here. In the first movie, if you remember, if you've seen it, Maverick and Goose were paired together as they passed through several different trials trying to achieve Top Gun status. And here's a picture of Maverick and Goose from the first Top Gun. But in one exercise, Maverick and Goose are flying, but Maverick, because of his impatience, crosses another jet's exhaust and gets what they called washed out, which ends up stalling one of his engines and causing Maverick and Goose to lose control of the plane, and they both begin to plummet towards the ocean below. And Maverick and Goose both eject, but Goose ends up being ejected headfirst into the plane's canopy, which effectively ends his life. But now, 30 years later, the sight of Rooster brings the past roaring back for Maverick. So in this clip, I'm going to show you Rooster. This is Goose's son. Rooster is at the piano playing and singing with his buddies. And as Maverick sees him, it begins to trigger all the pain of the past. Let's watch. So we find pretty quickly that Maverick is still carrying the guilt and regret from that event that transpired 30 years earlier. And as the movie progresses, we go on to see that there's more history between Maverick and Rooster, and that several years after Goose's death, Maverick blocked Rooster's application to the Naval Academy, thus setting back his career. And so we find that not only does Rooster have all this resentment towards Maverick, but Maverick is carrying the weight of this heartache and hurt from the past. Now, I want to pause here, and I want to ask you a question, and it's this. Is there a heartache or hurt from the past that you are still hanging on to today? Is there a heartache or hurt from the past that you're still hanging on to today? Maybe it's a disappointment from the past. Maybe it's a failure. Perhaps it stems from a relationship that went wrong. Is there a heartache or hurt from the past that you're still hanging on to today? Well, if there's one thing we learn from the movie, it's this. Nobody moves forward well while hanging on to the past. Nobody moves forward well while hanging on to the past. You know, one morning a few years back, I remember my oldest daughter, Ariana, who was maybe 3 at the time. I remember one morning she had just woken up, but instead of coming out of her, opening the door and coming out of her room, she stood right behind the door and was just crying. You could tell she was angry. She just crying. Michaela and I were like, Ariana, open the door and come out of your room. What are you crying about? But she continued to just stand right behind the door of her room, and she just cried and cried and cried. Come to find out, she was crying Because she couldn't open the door. Why couldn't she open the door? Well, when I opened the door, I found that her hands were full of blanket, water bottle, Minnie Mouse, and a book. So she's crying because she's trying to carry everything and try to open the door at the same time, and she can't do it. And Ariana learned that day, hey, if you want to move forward, you're going to have to lay some things down. You can't carry all of that and still move forward. And you know what? It's the same with us. If we're going to live fully and move forward the way God intends, we're going to have to let go of some of the hurt and heartache we tend to hang on to. But as many of us have discovered, letting go of hurt and heartache isn't just as simple as putting down your blanket and your water bottle. When it comes to hurt and heartache, many of us struggle to know how to let go. How do I let go of the pain of the past? Well, in this next scene, Maverick goes to meet his old friend and flying buddy who goes by the nickname Iceman. If you've seen the first one, you'll remember Iceman. And over the years, we find that Iceman has moved up the ranks in the Naval Academy, and he's now an admiral in the Navy. And we find that it was Iceman who called Maverick back to train the fighters for their next mission. Now, one thing you need to know about Iceman, you're going to see that in this clip. Iceman is played by Val Kilmer, who in the movie and in real life, because of throat cancer, has had several operations that have basically left him in a place where he can no longer speak. And so as Maverick goes to see him, Iceman communicates with him through a computer. And in this scene, we find that Maverick has the same problem that many of us deal with when it comes to the pain of the past.
Admiral? That's my wingman. Please, don't worry about me. What can I do for you? Rooster's still angry with me about what I did. I thought eventually he would understand why. I hoped he'd forgive me. The mission is less than 3 weeks away. The kid's not ready. He doesn't want what I have to give. Ice, please. Don't ask me to send someone else to die. Please don't. Don't ask me to send him. Send me.
So it's in that scene, Maverick reveals, you heard him say it, I don't know how. I don't know how to let go of the pain of the past. And what was true for Maverick, I have found is true for us in that many times we also struggle to know how to let go of the past. How do we do that? Well, to answer that this morning, we're going to turn to God's Word, and we're going to look at the man credited with writing much of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. You know, I think about if anyone had to work through the pain of their past, it was him. I mean, think about his past. Before coming to Christ, he aided in the persecution and murder of Christians. But nevertheless, he was able to let go and went on to do great things for the Lord. And in Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14, this is going to be our primary passage this morning, he gives us some insight into how he was able to let go of the past. And I love how it's stated in the New Living Translation. Paul says this. He says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So Paul shares how he let go of the past, and it involves three letters or three words that all start with the letter F. Did you see them? Focus, forget, and forward. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward. And we're going to discuss how each of those three help us to let go, and then we're going to use the movie to illustrate. So here's the first component of letting go that we get from Paul. Component number one is focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Paul said, I focus on this one thing. It implies a singularity of focus. And I think it's interesting when you look in the Bible, one thing is a phrase you'll see in many places. In fact, in Psalm 27, the psalmist says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Jesus said to the rich young ruler in Mark 10, Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Here's another famous one. Jesus said to Martha in Luke 10, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all the details, but there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and it will not be taken away from her. It speaks to the idea of being focused on one thing, and that one thing is Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're going to let go of the past, if you're going to let go of heartache and hurt, it starts with a life focused on Jesus Christ. He can't be peripheral. He has to be the focus. And this is not only how you begin to let go of hurt, but also how you can avoid a lot of unnecessary hurt and pain in the days ahead. Why? Because not only did Jesus say that he came to bind up the brokenhearted, but also because many times the pain, the hurt, the heartache we experience in this life, not all the time, but many times it stems from times in our lives when Jesus Christ was not the focus, and we were chasing everything the world had to offer. And many times sin gets involved, and sin just leads to more pain and more heartache. So letting go starts by, as Paul said, focusing on one thing, focusing on Jesus, living a life devoted to him. You know, in the movie, we find that Maverick is not only carrying around the hurt, the pain of the past, but after more hurt and heartache incurred through almost losing one of the graduates that he's training in one of their training exercises and then being asked to step down, he begins to realize that the only way forward for him is not to wallow in his hurt and pain, but to put his focus back on the one thing that matters most, and that's flying fast on mission. So in this clip, Maverick gets back in the cockpit and without approval decides to go all out and show all the graduates that flying the simulated mission course is possible. Let's watch.
Maverick to range control. Entering point Alpha. Confirm green range.
Maverick, range control. Green range is confirmed. I don't see an event scheduled for you, sir.
Well, I'm going anyway.
Nice.
Setting time to target. 2 minutes, 15 seconds.
2:15, that's impossible.
File attack point.
Maverick's inbound.
Thing I love about that clip is Maverick, I mean, he is just intensely focused on one thing. Nothing else matters. He is focused on flying that mission. That is his main focus. And in that clip, after that clip, I should say, everything begins to shift for Maverick. And listen, when we start to live with a focus, an intense focus on the one thing that matters, Jesus, I believe things will begin to shift for us as well. Letting go of hurt and pain starts with a life that's focused on Jesus Christ. Cannot be peripheral, a life that's focused on Jesus. So that's the first component, is focus on Jesus. Here's the second component of letting go. Forget the past. Look back at what Paul said. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. Now, I want you to keep in mind that in this passage and many places in the Bible, forgetting doesn't mean that you perform some sort of mental gymnastics and try to erase the memory of the past. We're not talking about erasing the past. In the Bible, forgetting means to no longer be influenced or affected by. To no longer be influenced or affected by. So Paul is saying not that he has just magically forgotten the past in the way that we might think he had, but he's saying that he's no longer being influenced or affected by it. You know, in the movie, Maverick gets thrust into the lead pilot role for this upcoming mission, and he has to choose which pilots from the group will accompany him on this extremely dangerous mission. And part of the choice involves who's going to be his wingman. On one hand, he can continue to hang on to the hurt and heartache surrounding Rooster and just avoid him. Or on the other hand, he can choose not to give the past any bearing or influence over his present decision. Let's watch the decision he makes.
It's been an honor flying with you. Each one of you represents the best of the best. This is a very specific mission. My choice is a reflection of that and nothing more.
Choose your two Foxtrot teams.
Payback and Fanboy. Phoenix and Bob.
And your wingman.
Rooster.
The rest of you will stand by on the carrier for any reserve role that's required. Dismissed.
Sir. Sir. I just want to say.
All aircraft, all aircraft, shoot them all.
We'll talk. We get back. Hey, Bradley. Hey. You got this. Maverick.
So Maverick chooses not to give the past influence on his present and his future. Now, in the movie, he kind of just does this, but how do we get to the place where the past no longer influences and affects our present? Well, let me give you kind of three simple phrases inside this point, okay? Admit it, submit it, forgive it. This is a little side trail here, but I think it's important. So if we're going to get to the place where the past no longer has influence and we're no longer being affected by it, we have to start with admit it. That means admitting the hurt and the pain we feel. This means you don't just bottle it up and act like it's not there. You don't deny it. You don't suppress it. You don't hide from it. You don't avoid it. We must admit the hurt and heartache we feel and get it into the light. There's something powerful that happens in our lives when we bring our hurt and our heartache into the light. That's where God can begin the healing process, is when we bring it into the light. And this is why we talk about it all the time. This is why we need other people in our life. Yes, you bring it into the light with the Lord, but again, there's things that happens when you can bring this into the light with someone else, a safe person who you can share what you're feeling. This is essential if you're going to walk in spiritual health and let go of the pain of the past. So you have to admit it, then you have to submit it. This means you submit the pain and the emotions you feel are surrounding it to the Lord, and you choose to not dwell on the past, but on God's truth. And it might sound like this. You might say, Lord, I'm feeling hurt and heartache. And I choose to submit my hurt and the emotions associated with it to you. And I'm asking that you would help me to release the past and receive the truth from you. So you admit it, submit it, and then this is key, you have to forgive it. This means forgiving yourself or forgiving someone else. This is key. The life that we desire many times is on the other side of forgiveness. And I always find that when I'm talking about forgiveness, it's helpful to touch on what forgiveness is not. So forgiveness, I want you to understand, forgiveness does not mean that you're excusing or condoning someone's sinful behavior towards you. When you forgive someone, it doesn't mean you're saying, oh, you know, what you did, that was wrong, and I'm just condoning it. No, it's not saying that. It's saying what you did was wrong, but I'm choosing to forgive anyways. So forgiveness doesn't mean that you're excusing or condoning someone else's sinful behavior towards you. Forgiveness doesn't mean that, does not mean that what happened didn't hurt. It doesn't mean that you're denying the pain and the hurt it causes. Again, it's just saying that was painful and that did hurt me, but even in spite of that, I'm going to choose to forgive. So forgiveness doesn't mean that what happened didn't hurt. And then I think it's important to remember that forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to erase proper boundaries and limits in our life. For example, let's say there's a person who abused you and has caused immense pain and hurt in your life. Forgiving them does not erase the need for boundaries that protect you. You can forgive them while also keeping boundaries that keep you protected moving forward. Just because we forgive doesn't automatically mean you have to have personal contact with someone. It's just simply saying, I'm going to release this person to the Lord. So listen, forgiveness sets you free from the past. Forgiveness sets you free from the past. And sometimes I've found that forgiveness happens in stages. It doesn't always happen at once. You might say, Lord, I choose to forgive. And then you might find out as you continue to walk that there's things that continue to come up and you just have to keep forgiving. You have to forgive and keep forgiving. And listen, this is why we offer, one of the things we offer here at Northwoods is prayer appointments. And in a prayer appointment, what's going to happen is they're not going to say, hey, we're going to admit it, submit it, and forgive it. But those three things are going to be happening if you reach out for a prayer appointment, because you're going to talk about what you're feeling hurt and heartache over. They're going to help you submit your emotions and the pain and the heartache to the Lord. And they're going to help walk you through forgiveness if that's something that needs to happen in your life. And so if you're here today and you say, I don't know how to let go, I would encourage you to go to northwoods.church/prayer and set up a prayer appointment with our team. Like I said, there's something powerful that happens when you bring your hurt and your heartache into the light and you have other people who are helping you to walk through that, process it in a healthy way, and help you to let go. So if we are going to let go of the past, we have to focus on Jesus, forget the past, and then here's the third component, keep looking forward. Keep looking forward. Look back at what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, and then he went on to say, and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So Paul says, I look forward to what lies ahead. I'm not looking like this. I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. And I press on. And what goal is Paul pressing forward to reach? Well, he tells us the finish line of the race of his life. God, this race that God has called him to. He is determined to finish and receive the prize. He's no longer looking backwards at the past. He's looking forward to the prize of being with Jesus forever. You know, just as there is a reward anytime you run, you know, maybe an earthly race here, there is a reward in heaven when we finish our race here, our spiritual race. The reward of being with Jesus. And I long to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking forward to. Look forward to what lies ahead. You know, in the movie, I love this last scene I want to show you. Maverick and Rooster head into this mission determined to accomplish the task and return home. And through many ups and downs, you'll have to watch the movie if you want to see what those are, and surprises, they not only accomplish the mission, but they are in position to make it home back to the ship, the carrier. Now, in the clip I'm about to show you, Maverick and Rooster are returning to the ship, and you'll notice their plane is missing its landing gear. But as they come in, I want you to take note of the joy and the reward of that moment when the mission had been completed and they bring the plane home. Let's watch this last clip. That is a glimpse. Just as they came rolling in and, you know, they're coming in hot to the carrier and there's just this joy, everyone surrounding them. That is a glimpse of what it's going to be like someday when you finish your race. There's going to be a party and there's going to be no greater joy and reward than getting to meet Jesus Christ face to face. That's what we look forward to. We're not looking back at the past. We're saying, you know what? I'm going to choose to look forward. And I'm going to keep moving forward in my mission. I'm looking forward to the day that I will meet him. And that's what keeps moving me forward. Like we said, nobody moves forward well while looking backward. So if you want to let go, with the Lord's help, you can let go of the pain of the past and enjoy freedom in Christ through focusing on Jesus, forgetting the past, and choosing to keep looking forward. I want to ask you to stand and I want to pray with you as we close. You know, the passage that was on my heart, even this morning, there's a passage in Isaiah 43, I think it's verses 18 and 19, where the Lord says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past, see, I am doing a new thing. It says, now it springs up, do you not perceive it? And I want you to just, that scripture, I want you to hear that as just the Lord speaking to you this morning. Forget the past. Forget the former things. We're not going to continue to dwell on it, ruminate on it. See, I am doing a new thing. The Lord is doing a new thing in your life. And it's time to let go of what's behind and focus on the new thing the Lord is doing. Come on, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your word, the truth of your word, and how you said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Lord, I pray you would give us strength to no longer continue to dwell on the pain and the heartache and the hurt of the past. We're not just erasing our memory, but Lord, I pray that if there's pain, there's heartache in our lives today, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would go right to the place and you would speak to that place. You would touch the place of need in our lives. And I thank you for the word that you are doing a new thing. I thank you that you're doing a new thing in each and every person's life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take hold of that new thing, no longer looking to the past. We're going to let go of the hurt, the heartache, and we're going to focus on the new thing you're doing, Lord. And we're going to keep looking forward to the day we meet you, because, Lord, we all do desire. We desire to hear those words from you. Well done, good and faithful servant. And so, Lord, I pray blessing over every single one of your people listening today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord praise. Thank him for what he's done. I want to encourage you to keep that scripture just in front of you this week. Isaiah 43, verses 18 through 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Guys, thanks so much for being here. We're going to have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray with you if you need prayer for anything. Have a great week.